to start the day. Nico and Cheyenne.
Camel Country 107.9.
How's everybody feeling? Super Bowl over, finally in the bed. Waste Management Phoenix open. Wasted in bed.
That's how we're feeling. That summed it up right there. I would say overall, my stomach hates me.
Yeah.
I think I've gained 5 pounds over the last week from just, you know, having to grab food on the go, making it super easy. I drank for the first time in probably 6 months. And then yesterday I made homemade bread and dip. And ooh. I ate so much of it. My gut is giving me words.
It's talking
right now.
Back.
We're having
it's
words.
Talking back a little bit.
I like the combo of bread and dip.
It was really good.
That's an aggressive move. Normally you just make the dip
yep.
and get some chips with nope. your dips and the fixins. Or you make bread. But you comboed that thing.
I did. I comboed it and it was delightful.
Shout out to the Philadelphia Eagles, man.
Yeah.
All the Eagles fans out there, all the scumbags, the birds, go birds. 40-22, big win over the favorited Kansas City Chiefs. I did tell my neighbor, hey, if you want a big bet, and I swear to God this happened, not a lie, because he was like, I don't know, Nico, because he's just dabbling in sports betting.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I don't know, Nico, and I'm pretty much a pro now, because of course.
Yeah.
I said, Jalen Hurts' first touchdown of the game.
Ooh.
Which is risky, because he's a quarterback, but he's also very mobile, and we all know about the brotherly shove. So Jalen throws this bomb pass down the sideline, like 30 yards. They call touchdown. Turns out he was down at like the 1. So I was like, here we go.
Ah! Yep.
First touchdown, Jalen Hurts, brotherly shove. They shoved it up in there, got the touchdown.
The tush push
in every other team calls it. And they got the touchdown. I got the win. He won like $600. He put $100
what?
On it. It was plus 600.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
He put $100 on it.
These are moments where I get mad at myself for not sports betting.
I'm mad I didn't go with my own thing. I sold him on it. I'm like, it's going to happen. It's going to.
But you didn't take the bet yourself?
No. I don't really sports bet all that much. I like to go to the casinos. I like to go to Gila River Resorts casinos.
Yeah.
Wild Horse Pass, Viquiva, Lone Butte. big Super Bowl for Eagles fans. Sorry. Chiefs fans, you had a great run, okay?
Yeah.
You guys did great. 16-1, huge season. You got to see the blossoming love, again, of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. President Trump was in the building.
The first president to attend a Super Bowl, actually.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Saw it yesterday.
Wow.
So it must be true.
Okay.
It was on the internet machine.
Yeah. No, I'm not disagreeing. This is a wild fact right there. And I also had to look up, like, because I was, you know, watching Kendrick Lamar, and I'm curious about the halftime show. And I was like, when was the first halftime show? 1991. Wouldn't you have thought it would have been, like,
33 years ago.
80s?
Well, they used to do stuff at halftime, but it wasn't what we know it as, where they hire a celebrity.
So it was marching bands before that.
I can get down with a good marching band, though. I love marching bands.
So who performed in 1991? New Kids on the Block.
Stop it. They had a bunch of hits.
It was a Disney Presents halftime show. We're going to talk more at Super Bowl, obviously, but again, shout out to the Eagles. Big win last night, and I think they deserved it. I ain't got no skin in the game, so don't hate on me, okay? I know the Chiefs fans are going to ring me up. Nico, you're an idiot!
I was Team Philly last night, for sure.
Okay.
I also had zero skin in the game.
We were all going Eagles? Is that what's happening?
Come on now.
Go Birds.
Some good. Mostly bad. Nico Breaks the News.
Camel Country 107.9.
Today on Nico Breaks the News, Tom breaks the wind.
What do you mean?
Apparently he woke up his girlfriend last night in the middle of the night, Haley, and she absolutely freaked out because he farted so loud.
That's monstrous.
We're going to remind her of that and also warn her of future farts that are coming her way.
Hello.
Hey, is this Haley?
This is.
Hey, Haley. It's Nico from Nico Breaks the News. How are you?
Who is this again? Sorry.
Nico. N-I-K-O is how it's spelled, and it's pronounced Nico.
Okay.
I have news from your boyfriend, Tom.
Oh, okay.
Well, he wanted to start by saying he's very sorry he woke you up last night.
Wait, what?
He said that the fart was louder than he anticipated.
What?
When he was pinching, and it came out a lot louder. He thought it was going to be silent. It was not. Clearly, it woke you up last night. So he's apologizing for that.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
Nico. N-I-K-O, pronounced Nico.
Who are you, though? Do I know you? I don't understand.
He also went on to say he's sorry for any future farts.
What?
Because he is lactose intolerant, as you know, and he did not want to eat the ice cream last night, but unfortunately, his appetite led him to the pint of ice cream. So he's not going to stop farting.
What is this?
He's not going to stop farting.
What?
It's Nico and Cheyenne from Camel Country. Hi, Haley.
Oh. Oh my God.
Does your boyfriend have
radio season?
Yeah, he felt the need to put this on the radio.
He's got no shame in his farting game, apparently.
Oh my God. He said
he woke you up and you looked so angry at him.
Did you know that it was a fart that woke you up?
I don't know what it was. It sounded like, you know, a storm. I don't even know what it sounded like, but it was insane.
When the thunder rose.
And your boyfriend farts.
I can confirm it was a fart. So sorry.
Oh my God,
and
disgusting.
Yeah, he was kind enough to warn you for all future farts. So
I feel like that makes up for all futures.
FYI.
For sure.
He's pre-apologizing.
I'm going to have to question his judgment for calling a radio station and airing this out.
We love it. So
the only thing you should
question
is why you don't listen well.
Yeah.
That's the question.
No, I do, but it was out of context. So I had no idea who. I knew you sounded familiar. Oh my God.
Thanks for playing.
Do I get to win something at least?
You get a boyfriend who still wants to sleep next to you.
Yep. And another fart coming
and
right up.
And another fart.
Great. I'm so lucky.
Nico breaks the news. Mornings at 6:15 and 8:15.
On Camel Country 107.9.
I feel like Jelly Roll at the Coors Light Bird's Nest was 800 years ago.
It does feel that way, actually. So long ago.
So much stuff things have happened.
What even was last week?
I don't know. Like I said, it feels like 1492 is when Jelly Roll hit the stage at the Coors Light Bird's Nest on Wednesday.
Killed it, though. Absolutely crushed it.
Then we had Luke Bryan on Thursday, Nickelback Friday, Tiesto Saturday, which I was not a part of. I didn't go to the Nickelback show either. Cheyenne,
which you should have.
Give us a Nickelback review.
It was everything you thought it was going to be. It was phenomenal, and he was amazing, and he's also the nicest person, and I lost my mind. That's what it was.
I like how you say he's
the band.
Well, because when you meet them, you only meet Chad.
Yes. No, I know,
so,
but it's just...
Yeah, it was amazing.
No, we understand that.
Thinking about, like...
But Nickelback will kind of feel a little something way about it.
Well, then they should have all come over. They were standing there.
I just pictured Chad going by Nickelback like as a lone man. When I'm on stage, I am Nickelback.
Hey, Nickelback.
Chad is Nickelback, okay? But it was really good. They had a great, like, pyrotechnic smoke show thing incorporated. Like, it was just a really good, really well put together show.
Oh, nice.
I didn't care for how chatty he was.
Oh.
He did talk a lot, and that's one of my least favorite things. Like, I'm not here.
Cheyenne was like,
model.
Shut up and sing.
Say it again, Paul. Yeah, but other than that, he sounded phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was a packed house, as I knew it was going to be. It was just, it was so, so good.
Nice. That was Friday night, so that's kind of where we left off. Obviously, if you want to check out our socials for anything we posted about Jelly and
Nate
Luke
Smith and Nate, Luke Smith, yeah.
All that good stuff. Nico and Cheyenne on Instagram. That was the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Whew, that was a live broadcast from 1937 on Thursday, and then I was back on Saturday. It was a lot, man.
It was a long week.
Whew.
And I didn't start, guys, I will be honest with you, I didn't recover from Thursday night until Saturday.
I know.
It was...
I saw you in the studio Friday morning.
Yeah, it was rough.
I can't believe you were at Nickelback.
I can't believe I was either, but I did what I did for Chad, okay? And I hope that Chad knows that.
No, you did it for the guy Nickelback.
Yeah, I did.
The Nickelback guy. Ah, incredible.
Yeah.
Phoenix Open ended with Thomas Dietrich from Belgium taking home the crown 5 strokes ahead of the field yesterday. So I kind of just kept up with it because I figured like there was some golf.
Yeah.
There was some golf at the Phoenix Open. Justin Thomas dunked one from 120 yards on 18 to finish out his round. That was an insane shot. Lots of fun with the golf. Yeah, it was great. Congrats to all the participants and the winners and all that good stuff.
Also, congrats to the Thunderbirds because I feel like waste management went off almost, I wouldn't say flawlessly because I obviously don't know behind the scenes.
I didn't hear about any drama.
I didn't hear about anything crazy. It felt good. The vibe was good all weekend.
I mean, that hole in one on 16 was kind of wild. Like, they were trashing the field.
Oh, that's every year, though. That's kind of their thing, though.
Just like being there for the broadcast and seeing the workers work, it's like I felt kind of bad.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, man,
he dunked on it. Abe thought I was there at the 16th hole. He was like, did you see it live?
Oh,
and
that
I was like,
cool.
No, I didn't see it live.
I have a friend who's a greenskeeper out TPC, and as big of a pain in the butt as it is, they love it because they get to be a part of it.
It's
you know?
A hat trick at a hockey game.
Yeah.
You know, they throw the hats on the field or the court, anyway, ice. But then, you know, obviously we transition to the big game.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Ooh, and whether you're a Chiefs fan or an Eagles fan, we're going to give you our unbiased opinion of the Super Bowl. Semi-biased-y. Coming up next. Stick around. Nico and Cheyenne, happy Monday. Those words should never be spoken ever.
I like a good Monday as long as I've had enough sleep on a Sunday.
Exactly. Morning, y'all.
Morning.
I know a lot of Philly Eagles fans did not get a lot of sleep. 40-22, the finishing score. They scored a couple touchdowns a little late, those Chiefs. Little sneaky Chiefs. Or as I like to call them, the Kansas City Thieves.
That's what a lot of people like to call them.
But the refs gave him a call early.
Early, right?
It was a pass interference. Yeah. It was an offensive pass interference,
yep.
Which was wild. There were a little, like, hand fighting, a little hand. Like, he put his hands in front of his face, but by no means did I think that was a pass interference call. All of the commentators, Tom Brady, was even like, no, that ain't not in my book. That's not pass interference. So they gave him one early, and we're like, oh, no!
That's exactly
what I said. It starts. It begins.
It begins. We thought it was over from then on, but the refs, I think, were calling it pretty straight from there on. They gave one more.
They did that makeup call. Remember the
next
time?
Yeah, they gave a makeup call to Philly.
With the head hit.
Yep.
I think it was Goddard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, the DB hit him high because he was going for the ball high. Anyway, I think, long story short, I think the refs played it pretty down the middle. I don't think there was much bias at all.
I definitely think that they had to. The fact that this is the biggest game of the year, period.
Yeah.
Which, they were like, guys, you got to step it up. We can't help you this time.
You could see the exasperated look on the Chiefs' faces on the bench where they were like, wait, this is what it's like when you don't get 87 calls going your way?
That's our producer, Super Aby Baby, there with that comment. Hot take. But yeah, I'm telling you, the Chiefs fans are going to get riled up this morning, bud. They're still a little cranky from that butt whooping last night.
Well, it's all good.
It was.
They won 2 Super Bowls before this. I think they'll be okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about the fact that Patrick Mahomes, man, for some reason, that goofball still had that weird grin on his face.
Because he
was 24 points down, and he was like,
guys, don't worry about it. We totally got this. We're going to come back. Don't worry about it. We're fantastic. I'm like, no, you're not, bro. You're on a sinking ship. You are on the Titanic right now.
You are the
captain, and you got that weird white beard, and you're going back to your quarters to go sleep because you're about to sink.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love to see.
But hey, at least he can maintain that confidence throughout even losing.
I mean, you have to.
I don't know, man. There was no sense of urgency. There was no sense of like, let's whoop my butt, because he was playing really bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was his problem. And I don't know. I mean, this is just my call, and I'm not no football analyst, and this isn't football talk on Camel Country. But from what it looked like to me, he was always going for something more than he should have. Like, he was always looking for, like, a longer pass, or he's looking for, like, a different combination or a receiver that wasn't open. Like, he was just waiting too long, where normal Travis Kelce, or I'm sorry, normal Patrick Mahomes can kind of get his little butt scurry away. And he wasn't able to do that. They were on his
Described, like, current dating. Like, always looking for more of the better option.
See that
thing? Sometimes
it's right
in front of you.
Cheyenne.
You're welcome. I was like, wow, is this my life? What's happening?
So, all in all, man, you know, Philadelphia Eagles, go Birds, 40-22, big Super Bowl win. Big statement win.
Good for them.
They were scoreless until, like, almost mid-third. The end of third quarter. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like mid-third.
Wowzers.
Yeah, Philly came up to play.
Wow.
And I was here for it.
New Orleans was rocking green and silver. I don't see, that's like an ESPN thing to say. New Orleans was rocking with green and silver. We're Costco guys. Of course we eat the chicken bake. I hate the Costco family.
What?
Do you know who the Costco family are?
No.
AJ and Big Justice? The Boom guys?
Boom! Oh, them. Oh, gross. I'm sorry, but no.
Why do people like them?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I truly don't understand.
I don't know what they did in life to deserve stardom for going to Costco and going, boom!
Yeah, I don't either. And I also
feel... But it needs to be erased from the world.
It does. And it feels like this is a great example of, like, extorting your kids for fame. Yeah. Like, dude, you have... I'm sorry. The dad, if you're listening or know him, I'm sorry. You have no talent. Absolutely no talent.
Well, I mean, people like them for some reason, right? Because they're kind of nice people, I guess. But then when the video came out about the dad, like, instructing his kid on how they're going to do the video,
yeah,
like, and he kept correcting. He was like, no, you got to do it like this. Hey, we're at the Costco and we're going to do this. It was so bad.
It's so gross.
Speaking of Costco, big fan of the food court. Hate the fact that we brought a spotlight to those people again.
I know.
Want to erase that part of my brain immediately. But
I need to never
don't
see it
ever want to erase the memory of that hot dog that they serve for $1.50 with a soda.
What I love about this is that they are very adamant that nothing is going to change with it, including the price.
I love that about that.
Until now.
Wait, what?
Until now.
What?
Uh-huh.
They're right. I didn't go into this knowing this information, FYI. I'm not playing it up for the cameras.
I'm ready to tell you.
What are they doing?
They are switching from Pepsi to Coca-Cola.
Oh, but they're not raising the price.
It's still going to be $1.50. They're just changing their soda.
My heart sank for the $1.50.
No, it's still $1.50.
In a drink.
They've had Pepsi for a while now. So it used to be, originally it was Coca-Cola, then they switched to Pepsi, and now they are officially going back to Coca-Cola. So it's still for $1.50, but
it's wild because they probably sell so much Coca-Cola or whatever the soft drink is in there.
So much.
That beverage provider definitely had to, like, jockey for that position. They were like, oh, no, we need to be in Costco's. We need to be in Costco.
Exactly. They kind of did whatever they needed to do to make it happen.
I'll get a DC on the rocks on the way out. No problem.
That fountain stands soda? For Diet Coke, kids. I do look like a good Diet Coke.
Fountain soda, to me, is the epitome of soda in general.
It's top tier. It is top tier.
When it fizzles, it gets me to drizzle a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Abe thought that was funny.
He did.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you loved your Pepsi with your dog at Costco,
too bad.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Coca-Cola the
back
king
to Coke.
Is back, baby. Yeah. Boom!
Oh, no! No!
The worst.
Nico and Cheyenne.
Camel Country 107.9.
I'm saddened.
Why?
I'm sad for what has become of Starbucks.
Okay.
I feel like they're like a vending machine for coffee nowadays.
Yeah.
You just pull
and it's
up,
way too expensive.
You put your money in, you get a coffee out.
Mm-hmm.
There's no experience. There used to be that, like, little jazz music playing in the background.
Starbucks was a place that you would go into to spend time there.
It would smell nice.
Yeah.
People were kind to you. Hi, welcome to Starbucks. What can I get for you?
And now you don't get any of those things.
Now it's just a vending machine. Uh-huh. It's a coffee vending machine.
It is a necessity of convenience.
And Starbucks said, what's going on here, people? People don't even come inside our stores anymore. And if they do, they just come in and pick up an order and run out the door.
Or they use our free Wi-Fi.
Yeah. And you can't even use the bathroom anymore.
No, you can't.
You need a code.
You do.
Got to be a customer. No pooping here. No free poop. So they announced yesterday that free refills are back.
I love this because who doesn't love a free refill?
It reminds me a refuel and refill.
Refuel on those Phoenix.
Don't you bring Phoenix into this. So they're bringing back the complimentary refill for customers that are there.
Right.
Sitting in their lobby or whatever, dining room, whatever you call it, and actually enjoying a cup of coffee.
What I love even more is that they're also bringing back the ceramic mugs for those who are staying.
Yes.
And I think that that is amazing.
That's because really cool.
For the long time, it's been paper. I'm stealing. Yeah.
100% stealing.
Starbucks ceramic cups are top tier.
They're going to make them available for purchase, which they're a smart business.
Yeah.
And they do that for everything.
Absolutely.
But I'm stealing the cup.
Please don't do that.
100%.
Don't do that.
You've never gone to like a place and they had like a really cool mug or something. And you were like, ooh, this is coming home with Papa.
I would never refer to myself as Papa, but no, I've never done that.
I used to go to a beer garden, sidebar, ADD Radio, and they would give you like the beer stein, but it was a boot. Mm-hmm. So you would drink it out of a boot, but then they would charge you like $75 for the boot.
And $75 for the glass?
They would refund it once you returned the boot. So they were like, aha, you want to steal this?
That is smart.
I will charge you.
That's smart.
I don't know why they're Russian, but ADD Radio. So Starbucks, I think it's really, really awesome that they're bringing back a vibe of like welcomeness and not this ATM, which they've become. Or vending machines.
I love this vibe that we're in right now of not just Starbucks, but a lot of companies that are kind of going back to its roots.
Yeah.
Like they don't like where they've gone and they're trying to get back. And I think that's so cool.
They try to streamline and make everything so much more efficient. And
sometimes with
a coffee place, you just, inefficiency is okay with me.
Yeah.
Like it's okay.
It's all right.
Because you can just pour it again. It's cup of coffee.
It's quite alright.
So Starbucks, you can write my name, misspell the Nico. It's N-I-K-O. Once again, thank you for returning to your roots.
Alright, Nico, it is the first time, the debut of Minute to Win It.
Woo! I'm excited. Let's go.
I'm excited too. We've got Jennifer from Peoria. Jennifer, it is Minute to Win It. You've got 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You will go only as far as your right answers will take you. Once you get a question wrong, the game is over, okay?
Okay, got it.
No questions have been revealed. First time we're playing it. Let's get into it.
10 questions. 60 seconds. Do you have what it takes?
Cheyenne's Minute to Win It starts now.
Here we go. Question number one. How many fingers does Mickey Mouse have on each hand?
Three?
No! That's not right! That's not it, Jennifer.
He doesn't have three fingers and a thumb.
No.
To be fair, that's what I thought, too.
That was slick.
Jennifer, that is not it.
You're kidding!
No.
He has three fingers and a thumb.
Okay, well,
thumbs are
technically fingers.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
So, Jennifer, you don't win the grand prize, but Nico, what do you say we send her to Disneyland anyways?
You know what, Jennifer? I like your style for being slick on us. You're going to Disneyland!
You're going to Disneyland!
Yay!
Jennifer, for playing Minute to Win It, you're going to get 4 2-day, one park per day tickets into Disneyland Resort.
Yay!
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Shout out to Luis and his homies.
Hey, Luis.
These are my CertaPro painters. And they did my entire exterior of house.
They did a phenomenal job from what I hear.
They did, absolutely.
You've been raving about them for weeks, and I'm a little jealous.
There was a little hiccup.
You mean the wall that they forgot to paint?
So somehow, some way, in the plans, an entire exterior wall of my house. Now it's the fence wall. I want to make sure that everybody's clear. It's not like a structural wall of the house. It's not a house wall. It was a wall to the fence. Like, I have a concrete barrier around my house. It was one of those walls. But it was like a big, like 40-foot long, like, wall.
Right.
It was completely unpainted, where we had the rest of the fence wall painted. So I don't know where the miscommunication was. It definitely wasn't with Luis. I'm not dogging Luis at all. I love Luis.
No, he was phenomenal for you.
He did an amazing job, and it looks insane, and we love it. But
just the planning process kind of skipped a step.
Came for me to sign, like, the, you know, we're done with the job, sir. Here's your, you sign this. And I went, hey, Luis, you're not going to, you ain't going to do that wall. And Luis was like, I'm sorry, man, it wasn't in the plan. And I'm like, what do you mean it wasn't in the plan? Like, do you think I purposely told him, don't paint that wall and paint everything else? And he was like, no. And I was like, look, I don't mean to be taking it out on you. You did an amazing job. Long story short, it took him another day. We cleared it up. They painted it, and he did a great job. So I kind of felt a little guilty because he had to come back another day just to paint. Mm-hmm. He cleaned off all his equipment. He cleaned up, like, all the masking tape and the drop cloths and everything just to paint this one wall, and he came back to do it. And he was happy. He was like, yo, I'm sorry. Like, this is what they told me to do. And he even showed me a picture, a rendering. It had an X on that wall.
Which is weird.
Like, don't paint it.
Yeah.
So it was not his fault. So I kind of felt a little guilty for, like, making him, like, come back and do it again.
You're so much nicer than I am.
So I gave him a tip. I gave him $50.
Aww.
I gave him $50 and his partner, Joe. I think his name is Joseph.
Oh, okay.
I gave him $50 also.
That's nice of you.
So, do you tip your painter?
I've never had a painter.
I felt bad, which is why I gave him the money.
Yeah.
But also, like, is it one of the gigs that you, when your plumber comes over and fixes a drain, an unclogged drain, mm-hmm. do you tip him for that, or do you just pay the cost that it costs?
I don't.
But I feel like so many people ask for tips nowadays.
Yeah.
Tipping culture in general has become like muddy waters.
It's saturated.
You don't know when to, who to, whatever.
Who deserves a tip?
Exactly.
And yeah.
We're definitely going to talk about that coming up next. I tipped my painters. They did a great job. There was a miscommunication.
That was not their fault.
That was not their fault.
Yeah.
But I felt bad about it, so I gave them a nice tip.
it's guilt. Tipping has turned into guilt culture.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're always swinging around that screen. Hey, just answer a question on the next screen.
I hate the swinging around of the screen. It drives me bonkers.
I hate that they say answer the question on the next screen. Just say, hey, if you'd like to leave a tip, it's on the next screen.
They try to be very, like, ominous about it, but it's like, bro, I know it's coming.
No, you want me to tip?
Yeah.
And yes, you can see what I'm tipping you. That's the other mystery about it. They're like, oh, if you flip it around, I won't see which one you're pushing. But right when you flip it back around, it gives the total with the tip.
Yeah.
So they know how much you're tipping. So don't put like one penny in there, because they'll know.
Yeah.
You give them one penny.
I appreciate people and services so much. My issue is just that everybody asks for tips.
Yeah.
Everyone, no matter what it is that they're doing, is asking for a tip.
Yeah.
And therefore, I don't want a tip.
Yeah.
Because, like, I can't tip everybody.
Like, when you go through the car wash, do you throw the superstar car wash machine a tip? And you go, hey, robot guy, good job. Here's $5.
Go get yourself some fresh oil.
Everybody's asking for a tip.
Yeah.
And I know producer AB Baby is a very generous
tipper. He is a very generous tipper.
He's always made it a point to show off. And in fact, he brags about how much he tips from time to time.
If we may, he is a bougie tipper.
Would you have tipped your painters for painting your house? For a service that you paid for, the entire service, would you tip them?
I mean, if they're paid well already, I probably wouldn't think about it, no.
You wouldn't tip them?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, too.
I'm going to have to reach out to Luis and get my money back.
Do you tip your mailman?
No.
I don't do that either.
We do leave out snacks during the holidays.
I love that.
So we have chips, we have cookies. And it was empty by the end of the holiday season. It was actually perfect.
I love that.
So, like, they would flag down their boys. It'd be like, the Amazon guy would be like, hey, yo!
Yeah, yeah.
They got snacks!
They got treats! Yeah. And he'd be like, yo, what? They got treats. It was so funny. I got the whole interaction on Ring.
Oh, that's so cute.
But yeah, I take care of them that way. But there's just the tipping these days.
It's a little out of control.
It is a little crazy. But I would rather tip like a guy like Luis, who works for a painting company, who did a nice job. Like
it is manual
labor. A tough physical job, rather than like tipping Becky, because she literally turned around and grabbed a bottle of water out of the fridge and handed it to me.
Exactly. Like, if I were to move and use movers, which, by the way, I will never move without using movers.
Well, you gotta tip them.
1,000%. I would tip the guys who are moving my stuff. Yeah, yeah. Or, like, when I go to Nellis Auctions and they load stuff into my car. Only if they load stuff into my car, though. If I have to load it myself, I'm not tipping you. But if you stay to help me, because it's a big package, and I'm 5'5".
Yeah.
And you're helping me, I generally will tip them because they don't have to do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But they're choosing to give good service, and I love good service.
So tip the people that lift heavy things. Everybody else, no tip.
No tip.
Cheyenne.
Nico.
Did you ever see the movie Her?
No.
Starring Joaquin Phoenix.
No, which is weird because I love him. But no, I did not watch it. I know what it is when you say that. It's that AI movie,
right?
Where he falls in love with his iPhone or whatever.
He gets a phone, and his operating system is like this new and improved operating system that like you speak to, and it has an AI person that you speak to, and it knows all of your things, and it gets to learn you, and then you fall in love with it, and you get married to your cell phone.
It's so weird. It's weird. Sorry if that's you. It's weird. Why are you asking?
Do you think this is the future?
Falling in love with your AI girlfriend?
Yeah.
I think we're already there.
Or your cell phone or some inanimate object that's just like, you know, something that talks to you and cares for you and speaks to you the way you want to be spoken to. And all those things.
The unfortunate thing, Nico, is that I think that we are already living in that world. I think that people are super lonely. Yeah. And so if you have AI that's going to talk back to you and give you something that the opposite sex is not.
Yeah.
I kind of think we're there.
I mean, it's only a matter of time before somebody marries a robot.
There are people who are literally married to like carnival rides. So have you seen those? Like I have like My Secret Obsessions or whatever. And they like marry their cars and it's weird.
Oh, they kiss their carnival rides.
It's a weird world we live in.
It is wild because as the technology improves, you're not going to know that you're not speaking to a real person.
It won't feel like that.
No, not at all.
It'll be so developed and curated for you and what you like. You'll just continue to have this conversation.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to realize, which I'm sure a lot of people are going to toss that fact right out the window, but you're going to have to realize, like, it's not a real person.
It's not.
It's the computer, and it's playing with you.
It is a game at that point. I don't understand it. I understand being lonely, but the concept of falling in love with AI or the version of AI that you're getting, which is curated to you and what you feed it, it's a little strange to me.
We got some wild times ahead of us.
I don't know if I'm looking forward to it or not.
Because I'll be honest with you, if there's no social pressure to be like awesome and be good looking and work out, and you know, if you don't have to live in that world because someone's just complimenting you and saying they love you and appreciate you regardless, I think the world's going to look kind of crazy.
It's going to look really weird. And so what I'm hearing is if you're single, get swept up now because the playing field is going to get a lot smaller.
And AI is coming in hot.
It is.
Wouldn't the playing field get bigger?
It depends on where you're at. Like if you're like me, who is a sane, normal person who doesn't want a relationship with AI, but everybody else is in the field of AI.
I guess from your perspective. Yeah.
But then, what if the AI was like, hey, Cheyenne, I love you so much.
That's so nice of you. Guess what AI can't do? Hold me at night.
Well, that's what they got the robots for.
Cuddle me and keep me warm.
They're coming. Robots are coming.
There's other things AI can't do either. So,
hey. Actually, I think
cook me dinner. Cook me dinner.
I think it can do that. Abe, why do you hate your friends? They're your friends. You pick them. And yet they do things to annoy you.
I don't. It's just a group of people that follows me around everywhere.
It's his posse. His posse of people.
No, I just, I have a few friends that I go out to eat with from time to time. And I feel like I'm the only one that's ready to leave when it's like time to leave.
What does that mean? Like, when do you know that it's time to, what are you talking about?
I'm talking
about?
The food is done and bust. Bill is paid.
Oh, the bill's and been then, paid.
And I enjoy the lingering conversation, but that can be done anywhere.
Yeah.
Like we could take it outside, we could take it to another spot.
the bill being paid is the definitive time ender for your time at that table.
If it's...
It's at least the first.
Because you can't order anything else. And if you are annoying and say, can I get a cup of water before I go? You're annoying.
But what if the restaurant's not busy?
In that case, I don't care.
Okay.
I have no qualms with that.
Because that's how I am. Like, if the restaurant's not busy, like, there's, it's...
Yeah, because they're not losing any money.
Exactly. Then I don't have any, like, qualms with just hanging out and lingering.
You know me, guys. I am Greek. And we Greeks take the feast itself very seriously.
Yeah.
It is a long process. It is salad. It is appetizer. It is another appetizer. It is more meat, 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 dessert, that's dessert,
that's
all good. Dessert.
That's part of the dinner.
So that's, here's where I'm coming from is when we go out, like with my family, it's an hour 55 to 2 hour minimum.
Love that.
Minimum.
I'm
several
okay with that,
drinks.
Though.
Yeah.
Because y'all are eating the whole time, right?
Expect yourself to consume a lot of goodies over that time period. And we don't, like, I'm sorry, but we're ordering. And the bill will come and it will be hefty
because
we go in hot. But we definitely don't linger, you know, after the bill
exactly.
is paid.
Yeah. I'm not saying scarf your food down.
Right.
Eat your normal meal. But when it's, like, paying the check is, like, the first little sign. But when, after you pay the check, when they actually come bust the table while you're still sitting there, it's like, that's kind of like, okay, what are we still doing here?
So are your friends the friends that loiter? Is that why it makes you uncomfortable?
Yeah, a little bit. Because I grew up, you know, around a lot of servers, friends, family. So I heard a lot from inside the industry. And it's just one of those things where, like, I don't want to stand in the way of somebody else's bread. You know what I mean? Yeah. If they got people lined up waiting to take these tables.
And you know the servers are back there going, oh,
they won't leave. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
This guy has had 13 refills of Diet Coke. Come on, bro. Pick up your
unless
stuff
you're
going to
hit him with the super tip. You know what I mean? To make up for it.
Yeah, which I know your friends, and they don't tip very well.
Okay,
ouch!
Hold on.
That's what Abe said.
You're just trying to get me in all kinds of trouble.
Shots have been fired.
This is another conversation altogether.
Jeez.
About he compensates for his friends. But anyway, we... We want to hear from you. How do you do dining? Is it annoying? Are you servers? I would love to hear from servers.
I would love to hear, like, a server's perspective on this.
What's the cutoff? Like, when you start refilling Cokes, is that the cut? Like, hey, okay, wrap it up.
Yeah.
Okay, let us know. 602-894-5653. I'm always, like, super self-conscious. I don't want people behind the scenes talking about me, you know? But when the waitresses get all together and, like, this guy just won't leave.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm very mindful.
Yeah.
I get the hints. When the bill is there, I'm out. Derek and Mesa, morning, buddy.
Morning, y'all.
What is the proper amount of time to spend at a restaurant before you feel like you're annoying people?
I feel like, you know, if it's a small party, four or less, then you should be there for an hour, hour and a half tops.
Oh, okay. That's kind of generous.
That is
hour and a half.
Super generous. But is that like while you, like, you're eating, like that's the like the from start to finish, or?
That's from the moment you walk in and sit down at the table to the time you leave. That should include like them going and cook your food and bring it back. Because here's the thing. I'm a server, okay?
Yeah.
Like if you are sitting at my table for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, which happens more than you would think, I'm not making any money, man. Like, and nobody I know goes to work to stay broke all day.
Valid.
That is a good point.
I do not come to work to not make money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does. Now, there's like one caveat. If my table is like, hey, we're going to tip you real well, which does happen sometimes, they'll give you warning.
Yeah.
And sure, sit there. Take a while.
Oh, that's good. I like the pre-warning. Like, hey, my man. I see you're starting to like bite your fingernails. Relax.
I'm going
to
tip you.
Here's a little extra cheddar for my time. Yeah, yeah.
I love that. Be more like those people.
Yeah.
For sure.
It happens, but not as often as I'd like.
Derek, have you ever like said, go home?
Get out.
Hey, leave.
I've never, it hasn't happened yet where I had to be rude with people, but right. I've dropped hints before. You know, you come over to the table twice in less than 2 minutes and say, is there anything else I can get you?
That is a subtle hint. I'm not mad about that.
I like that. When you say it a couple times, or you like look outside and you go, ooh, It's late. It's getting a little chilly.
It's getting a little dark outside.
I think the most forceful I've ever been is saying, well, my shift's about to end, so.
Oh, there you
oh,
go.
That's solid.
Wait, that's what that means? Because I get that all the time. I always just assume it's like, I'm going to pass you on to another server.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
man,
they want you
no,
to
wrap
leave.
It up. Oh!
I'm trying to get you out. Yeah.
I'm in there. Yeah, I'm that guy. Okay. So I'm walking through the grocery store. And I see the most magical thing these eyes have ever seen. Oreos.
Love Oreos.
Made with Post Malone.
Yes! Oh my gosh!
Apparently there's a little piece of Post in every Oreo.
I don't know how they did that, but I'm here for it.
It's a lot of Post Malone to go around.
It's a lot.
And being that he's lost so much weight lately, there's not much Post Malone to go around. But if you haven't heard about it, Post Malone has collabed with Oreo. I'm going to stop being gross. I don't think there are bits of Post Malone in the Oreos themselves. So Cheyenne has the packaging.
I do.
What does it describe what this cookie tastes like?
It says Posties swirled salted caramel and shortbread flavored creme.
Ooh.
It's got the Post Malone. I mean, it's all Post Malone packaging. The packaging looks great.
Yeah.
It's
got the little guitar picks that look like snake skin.
Yeah.
Or is it snake skin?
Yeah, it's supposed to look like scales.
Okay.
But they are, in fact, guitar picks. And they say Postie Co. on them. And yeah, I mean, they look great.
Do you want to rip that puppy open?
Do I? All right.
So, Post Malone, one of our favorite artists here on Camel Country.
I love Post Malone.
Coming out with a cookie. Ooh, it's half like vanilla cookie, half chocolate cookie.
Oh, my God. You have to just smell the pack. You just have to smell them as a whole.
Cheyenne just dipped her nose right on in.
Smell them.
Whoa!
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I want to crunch these up and snort them immediately.
They smell so good. How do you describe that?
Oh, that's a really pungent, like caramelly, salty. Oh my goodness.
I love caramel.
Guys, this is a real reaction here. And trust me, we are not paid to be talking about these at all.
No.
But we saw them. We love Postie. We love Oreos. We're a cookie family here on Nico and Cheyenne. And we are going to give you a first taste. You know what I just noticed?
What?
There's two different types of filling in
yes,
here.
Yes, it's swirled.
There's two different types of filling in here, folks. Has that ever been done with an Oreo before?
No,
I don't think so.
It's salted.
I think
caramel.
The one side chocolate, one side vanilla. Okay, here we go.
All right, just eat it.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Whoa. That's a roller coaster.
Take me to church.
Of delight.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Of delightful flavor right there.
I'm ordering 10 packages today.
Whoa.
That is so good.
That is so much better than a regular Oreo.
This is
which
top
is what
tier.
Makes me sad now, because when this goes away, it's gone.
You're back to a regular Oreo. This is so delightful.
Don't get me wrong. I love a regular Oreo.
Yeah, absolutely.
But holy shish kabooty.
Now, Abe, you tried these the other day.
I did.
Because you bought your own package. Rude.
That's amazing.
But my story is very similar to Nico's. I was at Safeway picking up my Super Bowl goods to make my stuff, and I walked right by and was like,
oh stop.
Hello, like cutie.
Dedicated.
I see you, beautiful.
I see you looking at me.
Yeah, so I took it to my party, and we
are you still eating that thing?
I
smoke mine.
I'm tasting it piece by piece.
Whoa.
Like
savor.
For
savor
me,
the flavor.
On the cookie scale, that's a 10 out of 10 for me.
I'm sorry. You will
you
never
not
make
like
another
that?
Oreo that tastes like
How
this.
How can you not like that? You don't have taste buds. Your flavor buds are dead.
That's so good. I'm ordering
guys,
packages.
They're for
today.
A limited time. Get them before Cheyenne buys out the entire lot of Post Malone Oreos. And yes, they do come with, I confirmed it, little bits of Post Malone in them.
I can taste it. Hold on.
It's science.
Yeah, it tastes like a little bit like cigarettes. Like a little bit. No, it don't taste like cigarettes. They're amazing.
Oh,
go
so
out
good.
And get you some Post Malone Oreos.
10 out of 10 recommend.
Whew.
Yep.
This is Nico and Cheyenne.
Camel Country 107.9.